Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
It is a beautiful Wednesday night in Paris as we welcome you to this quarterfinal edition of TC Live at Roland Garros. We are presented all week by our friends at LoopNet. It's hump day in Paris, and only a couple more hurdles remain to reach the finish line at Roland Garros. The women's semifinals are set, and just one spot remains for the men. We've already had one rematch from last year, and fans will be treated to another tonight. Number 4 seed Casper Ruud and number 6 Holger Rune run it back from the quarterfinals a year ago. It was a testy battle. Ruud came out on top, but now Rune is a top 10 player. The 20-year-old, the second Danish man to reach multiple major quarterfinals, comes in with a spectacular 7-2 record against top 5 opponents. The fireworks set to fly in about 45 minutes. The atmosphere, it is up. It is all sorts of energy here at Roland Garros. Welcome in Steve Weissman, Chanda Rubin, John Wertheim. Welcome all our viewers watching on YouTube TV. Once again, you can find Tennis Channel and T2 now on YouTube TV. We just saw Sasha Zverev come through, so he is awaiting the winner of our night session. Holger Rune, Casper Ruud, much has been made, John, of the contentious nature of their match last year. Who comes into this one more confident?
Yeah, I think, hot take, pew, pew, pew. I think Rune has sort of become the new Ruud, a very steady player who doesn't give you much, a deceptively good athlete. He won the last time those two had a head-to-head match. That was earlier on the clay. They've kind of done a bit of role reversal. Ruud is a very solid player, but Rune has really established himself as a player to be.
Yeah, and he's playing, I think, a more dynamic type of game. But we heard Casper Ruud on the desk say he was looking for a little bit of revenge. Uh-huh. That is a powerful motivator. When you just lost to someone, you have that desire above all else to turn the tables, and it was a tight match in Rome. I think Ruud is playing better tennis. He's playing more confident, more comfortable on courts where he's done well, getting to that final last year, and I think it may be a different matchup, but I do have some info from the streets that that Holger Rune was practicing his serving and volleying. That may be a play he tries to throw in a little bit more often. We've seen him be a bit aggressive in his matches, previous matches, but I think this is one match where he will look to try to dictate and control very often.
Yeah, and as far as sort of the interpersonal and the battle of Scandinavia, Rune said something interesting. He said, I'm not looking for drama this year. They had a bit of a confrontation in the locker room afterwards, some words. So on the one hand, he's already trying to downplay this and to sort of, take some of the energy at them. But that also suggests to me he's thinking about the interpersonal. So we'll see if that comes to the fore.
And once they take the court, who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
No holds barred. I like the info from the streets, by the way, Chanda. A little serve and volley for Holger Rune. By the way, tournament director Amelie Mauresmo going to join us on TC Live coming up later in the show. So look forward to speaking to her. Second year as tournament director here with Roland Garros. She saw some great matches earlier today. The last two women's quarterfinals, starting with Ange Jabeur and Beatrice Haddad-Maia, John. Both trailblazers. Jabeur, the first player from Africa to reach this stage in all four majors. And Haddad-Maia, the first Brazilian to do it here since 1968.
Brazilian woman, of course, given the success of Gustavo Kier. And, you know, this was a big opportunity for Ange Jabeur. She was 2-0 against a lesser-ranked opponent. Everything was sort of going for her. And then all of a sudden, a couple games from the finish line, she really sputtered. The second set went to a breaker, and suddenly we love the drop shots, we love the angles, but when they don't work, a powerful player can take advantage. And Haddad-Maia won the second set and then absolutely cruised, guys. And she only dropped one game the rest of the way, breaking serves, using that lefty skill. It was a strange, strange match. This is one of these matches, guys, where on the one hand, you congratulate the victor. This is a big result for Haddad-Maia. But you also, part of this is a bit bittersweet. You wonder what happened to Ange Jabeur. Just a few points from winning and couldn't close. But big result, biggest of her career by far.
Bia had never been past the second round of a major before coming here. Now the first Brazilian woman to make the semifinals in the open air. Third straight match, by the way, coming from a set down. Beatrice Haddad Maia into the Final Four. So the last spot would go to either Coco Gauff or Iga Swiatek, a rematch of last year's final that Swiatek won in straight sets. The world number one only dropped four games in that match to win her second Roland Garros title. And since then, Swiatek has taken three more matches and six more sets against Gauff. So, Chanda, could Coco find some answers today?
Gauff came in with a plan. She was stepping in on backhands, taking advantage of every opportunity, but at 4-all, Swiatek held. And then it changed here with Gauff serving to try to stay in the first set. Swiatek able to get a handle on the high backhands that Gauff was throwing at her, able to get a little bit of spin on those shots and got them to fall at just the right moments, and then she was off and running. You could see Swiatek relax even more. It was still tight in this moment. Ooh, pegged Swiatek there. It was the right play. Nothing to see here. She's fine. Swiatek would just keep it rolling, and that's one of the strengths of her game. She doesn't get distracted. She doesn't, you know, get her mind off on things that don't matter. She got the focus back and was able to clinch it when it mattered most, came up with some big shots. Gauff was impressive, the way she fought, her athleticism, but in the end, it was the power game, the quickness of Swiatek that came through. And this is a little tougher battle, but Swiatek gets it in straight sets.
Into the semifinals for the third time here. Stays perfect against Coco, perfect in sets this fortnight. The first woman to win 12 straight matches at Roland Garros since Serena Williams. Won 75% of her points on second serve, while Gauff won less than half of those. 4-1 as Iga continues to dominate this matchup. John spoke to her after.
Iga, congrats. I think you're going to enjoy reading the stat sheet. Describe the experience when you are playing at this level in such a big match.
Well, for sure, I just feel, you know, after the match, I feel pretty satisfied with my game. I'm happy that I was able to make it into sets. And in the first set, in important moments, I was the one that was more solid. So, for sure, you know, it wasn't easy, especially with the win today. But I'm happy that I'm to the semifinal.
You've talked before about how important it is for you to disconnect a little at these tournaments, get away from the tennis. Give us a book recommendation, restaurant, art. What have you been doing to disconnect?
Well, I finished watching Madame Secretary. Right now I'm watching the second season of Ted Lasso, but it's pretty short, so I guess I'll be done tomorrow. And about books, in Rome I finished Leonardo da Vinci's biography. And right now I'm reading East of Eden, but I don't know if I'm recommending it yet. I'll see.
East of Eden, love it. You're into the semis. Adamas, see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, guys.
I love all that.
East of Eden.
Yeah, East of Eden, Da Vinci, all this. Men's quarterfinals wrapping up today. You just saw Alexander Zverev take on Tomas Martín Echeverri. The Argentine, John, was the only remaining player who hadn't dropped a set coming in.
Yeah, I think people saw that name and, well, you know, it's a clay court dirt ball. This guy is a player who hits a big, big ball. He's a big guy. A nice revelation of this tournament. But, boy, we all know what Zverev went through to get back to this level of tennis and this level of the tournament, and he was terrific when he had to be. Just stroking that backhand, winning points again when the duress was at its highest, and points today, good 37 points at the net. That's a set and a half worth of tennis just on volleys from a guy on clay we don't usually think of as a volleyer. Look at some of these pickups with the hands. This was a big time effort from Sasha Zverev. Nice to see him playing during the day. Three night sessions on his ledger here, and again, break late in the fourth set. This match could have gotten tricky. He did not let it. And you can see this encompasses a lot, this victory back in the semis 12 months after he was there and had a terrific action.
Yeah, a lot of roars. There was the roar there. There was the roar after they shook hands. And Sasha Zverev is pumped to be back once again, third straight year in the semifinals. Chanda, what stands out to you from these stats?
A lot of break points generated. Zverev getting the extra breaks, 5 of 11. That was huge, and it allowed him to turn the match around when he lost that second set. And, of course, at the net, playing much more aggressively, 54 times into the net, winning 38 of those points. That was huge, especially down the stretch.
John, you mentioned 12 months after that tragic injury that he suffered on that court in the semifinals. He's back into the Final Four. He's been slowly building. Round of 16, Monte Carlo, Madrid, Rome, made the semifinals in Geneva. Where do you see his level right now?
I think the level, I mean, again, that was such a comprehensive performance. But I'll tell you, I talked to him after the match, and there's a second where you switch mics. And I said, listen, is it okay if I bring up what happened last year? And he said, absolutely. He has embraced what happened here. And going back to the exact same court where you have this wrenching injury and left in a wheelchair, going back and sort of conquering that terrain, I think that is a victory. He didn't necessarily know how he would respond, and I think he takes as much pride in that as forehands, backhands, and 38 points won at the net.
Yeah, I think that was kind of the question when he played that first match on Chatrier. You figured he had to have been having some flashbacks, or at least thought about, you know, the moments and what happened and how horrific that was. I mean, for any player, it's hard to forget and also to trust your body. But he has really been impressive the way he's sort of embraced whatever feelings he's been dealing with. He's found a level of tennis that is very high. I think he can still go a bit higher. He's not at his best, but he's finding a way to get through these matches, and that, I think, is as impressive as anything else.
Can still go higher. Two more wins. Gets his first major title. Three of the four semifinalists are set. We've got Djokovic, we've got Alcaraz, we've got Zverev. Will it be Holger Rune or Casper Ruud? That is the match we are leading up to. The night session here in Paris. But when we come back, the Hall of Famer herself, tournament director Amélie Mauresmo. You can see her right there watching the women's quarterfinals earlier today. She is joining us live on set. Don't go anywhere.
TC Live at Roland Garros is presented by LoopNet, the most popular place to find a space.
Chanda, John, and Steve back on TC Live at Roland Garros, presented by LoopNet. It is day 11. There has nary been a drop of rain this entire tournament. Absolute beauty. And we are leading you up 2:30 Eastern. Holger Rune, Casper Ruud, last semifinal spot on the line tonight. But first, we welcome in a special guest to our desk. We've got the Hall of Famer, tournament director, Amélie Mauresmo. Great to see you, Amélie.
Nice to see you, too. Good to be here.
It's great to have you here, as always. Second year on the job. You're a veteran now, right?
Well, I feel much more comfortable this year. After the first year where I discovered, I had to discover a lot of different things, how this big event is run. So I'm pretty happy and more relaxed also for this year. But let's wait until the end.
we'll wait. There's a few more days to go. What's been most gratifying for you about this year's Roland Garros?
Well, I think the people, the crowd also is responding really, really well to what's happening throughout the 3 weeks, actually, of the tournament, because the qualification week was also a big success. The fact that the night sessions are a little bit earlier, maybe for you guys, it's not so easy.
No, that's great. We love that.
Okay, great. So for us, it's also a big success. Something I had nothing to do with is the weather. It makes a big difference in a tournament like Roland Garros to have this kind of weather. And yeah, I mean, everyone's happy, so I'm happy.
Okay. Well, we've been seeing more players move into the role of tournament director. And, you know, when you were getting ready to take on this mantle, the second year in, but was there any particular advice you were given that's been particularly useful or advice you would give to other players moving into that role?
Well, I think some people said to me, listen, everyone is going to give you advice, but the thing you have to follow are your guts. And that's really what I've been doing my whole life, pretty much. It led me to some places where I was pretty happy to go. And so that's what I did again when I entered the job a year and a half ago. And honestly, I'm happy to follow this. A little bit of listening to everyone, obviously, listening to the people that are making the tournament for years now, but also adding what I feel inside of me, my instinct is telling me, and it worked pretty well so far.
Okay. Tennis is a global sport. That's a virtue. There are players here, including the Jews, from more than 100 countries.
Yes.
There are also players from countries that are at war. Were you surprised at how much politics and sports intersected this event?
A little bit, to be honest. Yes, a little bit. Definitely not about the Russian and Belarusian and Ukrainian conflict, because we know, I mean, all year long on the tour, it's something very, very present, especially on the women's side, having so many Ukrainian players as well, and Russians and Belarusians. But yes, it went wider and broader than I thought, with Novak also. And so, I mean, I'm happy definitely that players are expressing themselves, but definitely on the tennis courts, maybe less. Right. I think in the press, I'm completely fine with that. on the court. I think it has to stay a sports arena where maybe politics shouldn't be so present, but I also understand the players and that they want to share their feelings and their emotions as well.
As tournament director, what specifically, what challenges does that pose to you?
No, I think what I want to do is for the players to feel comfortable and to protect them in any case, any player. And I think that's what we've been trying to do since the tournament began, even last year also, and especially since we had Naomi Osaka a few years ago. I wasn't tournament director then, but I followed the whole story. So I think having their mental health protected and being able to either express themselves or not expressing themselves when they don't want is something that I want to respect, and that's what we did.
It's a former player talking right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Protecting the players, their mental health, all of that is very important, and you've done a great job doing that. Next year's going to be amazing, Amelie, because not only do we have Roland Garros, we've got the Olympics. What is this place going to look like next year,
okay,
for the Olympics?
So first of all, we're going to have for Roland Garros 2024, the tournament, we're going to have a roof on Suzanne Langland court as well. So it's going to be two roofs for us. Hopefully we're going to have the same weather as this year, but in case we will have two roofs to protect us. And then for the Olympics, which are only 2.5-3 months after the end of the, not even 2 months after the end of the, yeah, of the tournament, it's going to look blue, more blue, definitely looking different. All the what is surrounding the courts is going to have a different color. A little bit like, for those who remember, in 2012 in Wimbledon, the stadium court, center court, was completely different.
Purple.
Everything was so different. So it's going to look different, but the clay, I mean, the people that are going to organize the event are going to be the same. I'm not going to be in charge because it's someone else's job. I'm just for the tournament. But it's going to be great, and it's going to be shorter because it's 8 days tournament. So that makes a big difference as well. Not the same format, as you know, also. Yeah. But I'm looking forward. I'm going to come here as a spectator, and I will be fine.
Well, speaking of you being a spectator, we've got some shots of you sneaking around, watching a little tennis. You had the shades on.
Was it shades tonight.
No shades here.
I'm focused.
Very focused, very focused. But, you know, we've seen Iga Swiatek now just over a year be so dominant, coming back into this year's Roland Garros, dominating. What have you thought of her tennis and how she has, you know, sort of put herself above the field?
You mean so far this tournament or for a year and a half?
For the last year and coming into this tournament.
I'm really impressed by her game. Her game suits all surfaces pretty much, and especially here on clay. But her intensity is probably what, and her focus and her intensity, because now everyone's playing great tennis. But to be able to really keep the focus week after week, day after day, obviously, but then month after month, and now it's been a year and a half, you said it. And I feel that she's really the face of women's tennis now, and dominant, and very dominant. And for us here at Roland Garros, her game suits really, really well on clay. I'm sure you've said that already, but I'm really eager to see, and impatient as we all are, to see what's going to happen over the next few days.
12 straight wins and looking to win her third Roland Garros title. Thank you so much for spending some time
with us.
Thanks
for having me.
As always, we wish you a great championship weekend. We're going to start handing out trophies tomorrow, mixed doubles final.
Yes, exactly. First trophy, first ceremony tomorrow.
Love it. Amelie Mauresmo joining us here on TC Live, tournament director, Hall of Famer, Hall of Fame human, right here on Tennis Channel. Much more still to come, as right now on tennis.com, David Kane talking about the major streak continuing for Aryna Sabalenka. Stefanos Tsitsipas, why were the first two sets a little sleepy? Find out on tennis.com. And happy Pride Day here at Roland Garros. 10-year anniversary of the first gay marriage in France. Spectacular day here on the grounds. Much more TC Live after this.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Back on TC Live, the Tennis Shop, powered by Tennis Point, is the new online store featuring the latest apparel and equipment. Choose from a wide selection of brands and get the very same gear as your favorite pros. Check it out now by scanning this QR code on the screen or by going to tennisshop.com. I can highly recommend the 2023 Paris Collections Pure Fire. Well, we are leading up to the night session here. Last semi-final spot on the line. Casper Ruud getting ready to take the court. Said the best of five gives him more freedom to recover from mistakes and early deficits, and he has made a conscious effort to hit through the ball more this tournament. He will also have memories of a win last year against Holger Rune, apparently
dude,
he's faster than anyone on the planet.
Save your energy, dude.
Our women's doubles quarterfinals earlier today on Simone Mathieu. Taylor Townsend, she made the semis last year, Chanda, with Madison Keys, hoping to do the same thing this year with Leyla Fernandez.
Yeah, and they recovered from getting down an early break. They are such a dynamic team. Taylor Townsend there at the net, helping her team and just being a real force out there. A lot of aggressive plays, a lot of winners. And that is another one up at the net. Chris Volley's keeping it out in front. They were perfect on break point opportunities, 4-for-4, and that allowed them to take control of this match right here, keeping themselves in it. And just love how Taylor is so instinctive moving forward. And Leyla Fernandez, she's been learning and growing on the doubles court. And together, they make a terrific team into a major semifinal.
What a pair. Team Tele moving on to the final four, and guess what? We've got a big-time rematch of the Miami final coming up in the semis. Coco Gauff, Jessie Pegula against Taylor Townsend, Leyla Fernandez. It was Coco and Jessie that won 7-6, 6-2. By the way, Jessie can get to number one in the world by winning the title here. Coco would get to number two in the world. So let's talk about it. We've got three Americans, all North Americans, playing in one semifinal. John, what do you make of that matchup?
Yeah, I like, what do you think of the lefty-lefty look?
Yeah, that's a special pairing.
Some of this is about doubles, and I think some of this is about singles. Those are four players who reach different rounds, but I think each of them had a little bit of sting from the singles. How nice that they can go out there, stay in the tournament, and ideally, two of them anyway, will leave with a trophy.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Taylor Townsend and you know, the success she's had recently into the top 10 in doubles now, an opportunity to try to get a major title, and she's been right there. She's already been to a final. So you just figure that maybe it's their day to turn things around, but it's going to be a lot of fun to watch them go toe-to-toe again. That Miami match was incredible, so looking forward to some fun exchanges.
Coco and Jessie made the final here last year. They want the title, and of course, Taylor and Leyla, they want to take it one step further. Much more still to come here on TC Live as we lead up to the night session. We are about 48 hours away from the most anticipated match of the entire year. It's an early look at Alcaraz Djokovic when we return to Paris. We are getting close to walkouts on Chatrier, but first, our LoopNet finding space winning point. What do you have, John?
Who found space? Monster Boy found space. One of 30. 30. That's a big number, Mademoiselle Rubin. 30 drop shots. And look at this. Bea gets there, but Ons ends up winning the point. She did not win the match, but she created an awful lot of space using every nook and cranny of this tennis court, as she always does. That's too nice. It's a nice get, but Ons was on it. You hit a drop shot, you get ready for another one. That's exactly what happened there.
Ons Jabeur. LoopNet finding space. She had the winning moment, but unfortunately did not get the victory. It's always whoever gets the hot shot, whoever gets the LoopNet, they don't win the match.
Well,
we give them a little love. Spare a thought, John. Spare a thought.
Why can't we give the winners?
I don't know. They don't have the best highlights.
Yeah,
apparently.
In five space.
They're too busy winning.
Exactly.
Too busy. They're just, you know, they're locked in. They're not doing the highlights. We are just two sleeps away from the biggest match of the season. Novak Djokovic, Carlos Alcaraz, two best players on the planet, meeting for the first time this year, Chanda. Who has played better on the way to the semifinals?
You are talking to me, Steve, like I talked to my six-year-old. Two sleeps, but I'm here for it. Now, this is a match we have been looking forward to. I mean, we've kind of talked about each player finding their best tennis. First, it was Djokovic finding a way through some tough battles, and then it was Alcaraz and the way he dismantled Tsitsipas. So impressive, just the poise. He had some rough moments. He came through that as well, and I think maybe that helped him in this matchup against Djokovic. Of course, you know, the resume goes to Djokovic all across the board, especially, you know, the titles here, but Djokovic going for a huge number if he can win this title, but first he's got to get through Alcaraz.
Isn't it weird we haven't talked about that more? I mean, we've obsessed with this GOAT conversation for a decade, and then finally Novak's, you know, six sets away from taking the all-time lead. But let's talk about the semifinal first. I mean, the reason why they both have streaks is Alcaraz didn't play in Australia. It's kind of been, you know, this has showcased their strength. I mean, Alcaraz has played video game, muscular robot tennis. And what has Djokovic done? It hasn't been amazing highlights, but what he's done is play well when he has had to. I mean, every big point, he's there. He's undefeated in tiebreak. He hasn't hit an unforced error in 47 points played in tiebreakers this tournament. So this is Djokovic and his mental strength. This is Alcaraz and his young legs and, you know, loose arms.
And Djokovic, by the way, his streak, because he didn't play the U.S. Open last year, right?
Yeah.
So that dates back to Roland Garros last year. Hasn't lost a major match. 19 for him, 12 for Alcaraz.
And that was to a guy who's not in the draw.
All right, time for the social net. Much more talk throughout the next 2 days about Carlos Alcaraz, Novak Djokovic. Let's talk Rafa, though. The man who is not here had surgery on his hip. We saw this photo of Nadal in the hospital. Said it'll be 5 months, if all goes well, to be back. Today, we saw a video of Rafa walking on crutches. What does this tell you, Chanda? Is this good news?
Yeah, I think, you know, usually after these surgeries, they want to get you moving as quickly as possible. So not quite sure if that means better news or the same news in terms of the recovery period. But hopefully this is the first steps on his way back to being pain-free and getting back to doing what he loves. Clearly plans to try to play next season. But this, I think, is good signs.
John?
Yeah, I mean, I think what did we learn? That this was serious business. I mean, this wasn't some minor surgery. Again, we talked about the other day how the hip doctor was flown from Vail, Colorado to Barcelona. So this was not nothing, but it also goes to show how committed Nadal is to getting back here. And, you know, with any luck, the recovery goes well and we see him 2024.
From one future Hall of Famer to another, we love a good gender reveal. And check this out from Naomi Osaka. That's right. Had one. It's a girl, Chanda. What a beautiful photo.
I love these moments. And, you know, there's so much joy. There's so much excitement. This is a new phase of life for Naomi Osaka. Until then, she needs to enjoy the sleep she's getting. But it's so nice when you get to find out whether you're having a boy or a girl. And, of course, you want the baby to be healthy. That's number one. But these are fun moments. And we love seeing the pictures from them.
We really do. She was standing in front of a wall that says, "A little princess is on the way." Her boyfriend, Corday, posted the hashtag, "Girl Dad." John, you're a girl dad.
I'm a girl. Proud girl dad. And good for Naomi Osaka. I mean, I think a lot of tennis left to be played. One thing this event has already shown, whether it's Alina Svitolina, whether it's Taylor Townsend, who we just discussed, you can be very, very successful post-maternity leave. So hopefully Naomi sees the success of fellow mothers and is inspired to come back similarly.
Osaka said she'll be ready to go Australia next year. We send her all of our love. Here is Thursday's schedule. It's a big Thursday on Tennis Channel. We are starting to hand out trophies. The mixed doubles final, 6 a.m. Eastern. Then TC Live at 8 a.m. leading up to the women's singles semifinals. Back after this. All right, we are about 10 minutes away from our final quarterfinal. TC Live at Roland Garros. We're going four wide starting tomorrow. Myself, Chanda, John, and Paul Anacone joining the team. 8 a.m. Eastern, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Mark it on your calendars. Cannot wait for that as we welcome you back onto the desk. And it is time, Chanda, to catch up on your FanDuel picks. How did we do yesterday?
You mean today?
Well, it was yesterday. It was the, yesterday's pick for today.
But it happened today. The loss I took was today.
Right. Well, so it was one sleep Jabir until we showed the results.
I mean, Jabir, of course, we saw the match. We saw the highlights. Haddad Maia came through incredibly. Jabir was, what, a few points, a handful of points away?
Yeah.
But close doesn't count, Steve. So here we are.
Here we are. Still 32-18. Great record. Pick for today, for tomorrow.
I got to try to go with plus money. I think Sabalenka is going to win this match. However,
playing the odds.
You know, play the odds. Every now and then, I pick up a few tips from places, and I'm going to put five on Muhova because I can't afford more than that.
You got five on it. So you're not doing 10.
I wanted you to say that. I wanted you to sing that song. That's why.
Okay. I hope you do that every day. Right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $2,500. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to start making every moment more. All right, it is time to discuss more of Holger Rune, Casper Ruud. John, what do you think will make the difference in this match tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I think who's going to attack whose second serve, which loomed large in their match last year. Again, I just think at this level, these guys know each other. They played each other five times already. I think a lot of this is just mastering the occasion. They know who they're going to play in the next round. They've both played late in majors, but this is a big opportunity for both of them, and it's a big moment.
Past couple hours, by the way, Chanda, Holger has been posting photos of a new bathroom project at his home in Denmark, updates from his summer cottage. Social media, not reality, but that seems pretty relaxed.
He's pretty focused on the match. But.
Yeah.
Either pretty relaxed or not focused on the match.
Can you set these posts on a timer? I mean, is that something he can
say? Maybe.
He was literally posting about that before today's match.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Bathroom looks like it's got this great tub.
Beautiful?
It is beautiful. Yeah.
Wait, is the IKEA bag back? Can we discuss?
What's the big Babylon?
No. Premier joueur n'a que 20 ans. Il est 6e mondial. Il a remporté le Rolex Paris Masters cet automne. Il est Danois. Voici Holger Rune.
Now, Rune has won seven. Had won seven straight matches against top five opponents before losing to Medvedev in Rome, and one of those wins came against Casper Ruud. By the way, in the live rankings, Rune has actually passed Casper Ruud, but they go by the rankings that started before the tournament, and Casper was ranked higher. He gets introduced second. Ruud 2-0 in major quarterfinals, 0-6 against top 10 players at majors. Something's got to give. Jason Goodall, Hall of Famer Jim Courier, have you covered on the other side? The eighth live quarterfinal exclusively on Tennis Channel, under the lights, in the City of Lights. It is coming up next.